Let us pray. God, you are the source of all light. So by your word, you give light to our souls. Pour out on us the spirit of wisdom and understanding that our hearts and minds may be opened. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Psalms, the 30th Psalm, the first five verses. Hear now the word of God. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down into the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. It's a dark time. We all feel heavy. In the days of the birth of Jesus, it was dark times. And it was about to be the fullness of time. Back in 1985, I was in a dark place. It had been a gradual darkness that was coming. 30 years old, two children. I'd gotten out of college and had gone to work for a textile company. 4 weeks into working for this company, the plant manager who hired me was fired. He was fired for doing what his boss told him to do. I felt like I was in an island. A year later, I left there and went into the apparel industry as an engineer. Things were going well. It was an established apparel company, made dress slacks. We made probably 150,000 pairs of slacks a week. It was a good place to work. The business had been vibrant for over 50 years. And by 1985, we had survived one chapter 11. On one Friday, while I was employed there in 84, it was a Black Friday, that's what we called it. 45 of my coworkers' friends, people in other departments, and two in the engineering department were fired, not because of what they knew, but some because of what they made. In my department, one, the most senior, the one who made the most money but who knew more, who was a wealth of information, was let go because he made the most. And at the other end of the spectrum, the newest, the youngest, the one who made the least. But adding those two together, our director could eliminate the most money and still have a department that could function. A good friend became an enemy in one day. It was a dark time. And during that day and during that time, a company came to me and asked me to come go to work for them as a contract manager for the next year. I spent time traveling, driving all over Georgia, checking plants and what they were making. If they were going to make it in time, if the quality was good. I was flying to places like Vernon, Texas, Allentown, Pennsylvania, Youngstown, Ohio, Springfield, Missouri, just to name a few. By the fall of 86, I was noticing that those expense checks were coming slower. And about the week before Christmas, the company owed me over $5,000. And to say the $5,000 was $5,000 in 1986. I made the choice to suffer in silence, in the darkness, because I didn't want to ruin Christmas for my family. And with each day as Christmas approached, I would learn more information, and it kept getting darker and darker. And then the day after Christmas, I shared with June, my wife, about what was going on, that I probably would not have a job much after January. It was dark. And then about the second week of January, I was sitting in my office there in my house, and my phone rang, and it was a friend of mine, a gentleman I grew up with. I'd never not known him. That happens when you're raised in a small town. This gentleman, we had graduated from high school together. We had gone to every school we were in through high school together. He went to Georgia. I went to Georgia Southern. We both came back to Thompson to live. And on that day, he called and said, "Can I come by and talk to you?" I said, "Sure, come on over." I had made the decision I was going to talk to the local bank president that day, and, well, since Mike was coming, I would stay home. And when Mike got there, we had some small talk, and then he shared with me what had been going on in his life and his business, the one he and his brother owned and ran, a third-generation small business. And then he said, every time over the last few months when I would feel pressure and we didn't have enough help, I thought of you. And I was here today to offer you a job. A job that, if you would, we would like for you to develop a sales territory in the mid-Atlantic states." He said, "But if that's not something you want to do, or you're offended that I would ask you, I could get up and walk out and we'll just act like I never came." And in that moment, I had this thought: if he gets out of that chair, he will be tackled before he gets out of the room. See, he didn't know that I was needing a job, and I didn't know that he needed someone to work for him. And in that moment, the darkness was lifted, and joy entered my heart. But it was an interesting thing, because in that same moment of joy, I was overwhelmed, because he was entrusting to me his good name. He was entrusting to me someone who did not know anything about the nursery industry. He was entrusting to me his good name, to spread his good name to places he had never been. As I thought about that over this past week, so long ago, I thought about those shepherds. I had some darkness for a couple of years, but for a shepherd, every day was dark. You see, because there is no hope for a shepherd in that day to ever be anything more than a shepherd. Their fathers were shepherds. Their grandfathers were shepherds. Their great-grandfathers were shepherds. The lowest of the low, the least of these. They never could hope to be anything but a shepherd. And the view of a shepherd never changes. You see, there's always sheep that go astray. There's always sheep you got to keep safe. There's always sheep that are outside in the cold, in the heat, when it's dry, when it's wet, when there's no grass, when there is grass, when there's no water, when there is an overabundance of water. And no matter how bright the day is, it always gets dark at night. Keeping your flocks by night with no hope of anything different. No hope, no joy, no nothing. Nothing to look forward to until the fullness of time came. And on that night, when the angel spoke and said, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy. For born this day in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." You see, the angels didn't go to Herod. They didn't go to the temple. They didn't go to the Sanhedrin. They didn't go to the people of power, the few that had all the money in the world. They went to the least of these. Just as the angel had gone to Mary in Nazareth, the place where can anything good come from Nazareth? And just as the angel went to Joseph, a just man who was so ill-prepared, It didn't matter who you were. If you were a man and you were asked to do what Joseph was asked to do, you would be ill-prepared too. We all would be ill-prepared. But the angel who entrusted the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news that's for everyone. You see, if there's ever any doubt who the good news is for, look no further than the shepherds. Because you see, the angels came to the shepherds to share, to be the keeper of the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. Now, some of us, we probably think, well, we are special, and so we deserve that good news more than anybody else. You see, because that gift that God gave, certainly God would want to give the good news to us because we are special. We live in America. We live in Dunwoody. We went to the right schools. We went to the right elementary school, junior high school, college. Our parents or somebody. We drive the right cars. Of course, God would give us the good news, that gift. But the strange part is, for a gift to be truly a gift, you see, if it's something you deserve or somebody wants to get something in return, it can either be a bribe, it could be a wage. But for a gift to be the true gift as God gave the gift of Jesus to us, it is a 100% unadulterated grace. Because none of us deserve it. And God chose to give it to the least of these. You see, we're all the least of these. For all of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners saved by grace. And everyone, Christ was given to the world for everyone. Great joy is in the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, when you accept the relationship that God offers us in Christ, there is joy that can be born in us. And it truly is. And in this season of darkness, in this season of when things are not good, when many of us are depressed, when many of us are wondering how we're going to make it through the day, how we're going to make it until we can get a vaccine, how can we do these things? Sometimes our joy is not there. And I want to say, the thing we need to remember most at this time, in this time of darkness and despair and depression, is to remember the good news of Jesus Christ and the great joy that comes with it. I also want to say that if you truly want to know the joy that comes with a relationship with Jesus Christ as keepers of that good news, share it more often. Share the love of God more often, the grace, the forgiveness, the mercy, the hope, forgiveness. Because I believe when we begin to share that good news with others, joy will be overflowing in us. And I truly believe with all that I am, that as we begin to look at people who are different from us, as those who deserve and need to hear the good news, we will experience joy like never before. Sharing with those who look different, act different, who don't vote the same way you vote, who think differently on all matters. All of us need to know the good news of Jesus Christ. And the more we share it with people who are different, the more we will understand that we're not different. And when we do that, the darkness will disappear, and there will truly be joy in the morning. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.